Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
Good morning. You fully here? Fully awake? Fully caffeinated? Ready to go? You sure? Balcony, you ready? Okay. All right. There we go. Floor, you ready? Okay. Just want to make sure because the weather's pretty nice out there. So I know what it's like sometimes. You come into a building when it's just comfortable seat and the air conditioning's going on. And Hey, Pastor Rob sends his greetings all the way from Jerusalem. Right now there is 40 folks from Vineyard Cincinnati that are on a trip to Israel. And Pastor Rob will be back next week to kick off a new two-week series. And we can't go to Israel today, but we can go to the Black Hills of South Dakota. Do you know what's in the Black Hills? This is in the Black Hills. Yeah, that's there. And then also this, Crazy Horse. And then there is also a lake up there called Sylvan Lake, and it is the location of where I went cliff diving. I was in college. And I was doing an internship at a church in Bellevue, Nebraska. And every year, this church would take hundreds of teenagers on a week-long trip. And this particular summer, it happened to be to the Black Hills of South Dakota. And we were at Sylvan Lake. And you can kayak on the lake and canoe and swim. And you can jump off those big rocks. And so there's like the smaller rock where most of the kids are jumping off. And then there's like the medium height one that gets a little bit scary where like the brave adults were jumping off. And then there was the one that was nobody was jumping off, like the insane one. And of course, as a college age guy, me and one of the other interns say, let's freak out the teenagers. Let's climb up this cliff and jump and see how they react, right? Which sounds like a great idea from the ground. Have you ever done this before where you like, even just like a simple high dive at a pool where it looks like nothing from ground level and then you're standing on that thing and you're just hoping people don't see your knees wobbling? Okay, so we get up on this cliff and we're looking down going, what have we done? Like, so we're having this conversation, like, you gonna jump first? No, you jump first. How about we jump? How about we hold hands and jump together, right? Like, you're trying to figure out how in the world am I gonna get off this cliff, right? You know, how many steps does it take to cliff dive? Yeah, one. It takes a lot of steps to get up there, but it only takes one step to cliff dive. So we're having this conversation, and at some point, mid-sentence, I just look, he's gone. Great. So now I'm up there all by myself. Now, you're going to have to wait till the end of this message to find out if I ever actually jumped, but while we are up there having this conversation, we're asking all kinds of questions, and they're actually the same questions that we've been asking and answering during this next series. The first question, week one of this series, was, where are we? Locate yourself, right? Like, okay, where am I at right now in life, in my following of Jesus? And so the answer to our question on top of that cliff was, high up. I don't know how many feet we were up, but we could see people on the water, we just couldn't identify them. So I don't know how many feet up in the air that is when you can see people but you can't tell who they are, but it was high up. The answer to our question, where are we, was high up. How did we get here? Interesting question. How did we get up that top of that cliff? Well, the dumb answer is we walked, but the real answer is pride, enthusiasm, adventure seeking, all kinds of answers to how did we get here. You could ask that question about yourself right now in the current situation you find in your life. How did we get here? For some of you, you'd say the goodness of God. You're in a great season right now and you say, God has led me to this place. Or for some of us, we'd say stupidity, my own sin. It's not so good right now. How did I get here? I don't know how I got here. I don't like where I am. But here I am, right? So we ask the question, how did we get here? Why can't we stay here was the third question. When you're on top of a cliff, the answer is easy. You can't live your life on top of a rock, right? Like, so we were going, that one way or the other, we had to get down, right? It's either the walk of shame back down the trail or one step off, right? And so How did we get here? Now, we're going to answer two questions this weekend to wrap up the series, and these questions are, where are we going, and how do we get there? Now, before we continue, if you've been coming to Vineyard Cincinnati for any period of time, you have no doubt noticed the style differences between Pastor Rob and me. Many people will describe it like this: Pastor Rob is the preacher, Pastor Eric is the teacher. You have become accustomed to my teaching style, which normally is, let's look at one biblical text and logically work our way through it. You've become accustomed to getting that from me, and I want to get you ready for the next 30 minutes of our time together and say that is not what we're going to be doing this weekend. You're going to get a different side of me, and this different side of me can be summarized with this deep theological word that they're going to put on the screens here. Tell me if you can figure out what this word is. Perhaps if I said you can get all up in that, it would help you understand what that word is. I'm about to get all up in your business. I was preaching several years ago at a church, and one of the women in the congregation yelled out, "Watch it, preacher, those are my toes you're stepping on." Great line, we all laughed. I'm going to dance around your toes a little bit this weekend, because I don't think that we can answer the questions that we need to answer this weekend without us having a moment of honesty amongst one another. And so instead of tiptoeing through the tulips, instead of trying to play it all kind and nice, and gosh, I hope I say it exactly the right way so you're not offended or get mad, how about we do this? Can we just agree on the front end that if we all want to follow Jesus and we want to answer the question, where are we going and how do we get there, that we need to have some kind of honest conversation? Can we do that together this weekend? All right. Now, if you don't want your toes stepped on, I have a hint for you. Okay. I'll dance all over the line, but I won't cross the line. So if you don't want your toes stepped on, just pull them back about 2 inches. Okay. And I promise I won't step on your toes. Question number one, where are we going? Answer, forward. Forward. Not stuck, not stopped, not stalled, and not backwards. Forwards. At a certain point in God's redemptive story with the people of Israel, he has set them free from Egypt. They are moving towards the land of promise. They're moving forward towards what he has promised for them. They're getting ready to enter the promised land, and they send in spies, 12 spies. And to check it out and to come back. Two of them come back and say, it is exactly what the Lord says it is. Let's go forward. 10 of them say, it is exactly what the Lord says it is. But those people are big. Those cities are fortified. They are ready for a fight. And we are going to get our rear ends handed to us if we go forward. And so 10 of those spies say, yeah, it's everything the Lord said it is, but we cannot move forward. And what happens is, based on their fear or their lack of trust in the Lord, that it all starts to spread among the people. And so the people start to complain. The people, there's a bit of an uprising going on where they've convinced all of these people, we cannot move forward. And so they start saying, well, maybe we just stay here. Or maybe we go back. Well, here's how the Lord responds to this. He says, listen, my purposes are going forward. Since you don't want to move forward, here's what's going to happen. Every single one of you over 20 years old, you are not going to enter into my promise. You're going to go in a 40-year holding pattern. I'm going to wait for the entire generation of you to die off, and I'll bring your kids in. Wow. And that is, in fact, what the Lord does. And you think, wow, was like the Lord having a bad day? Was that just him being spiteful? Because that seems like a pretty harsh response to a group of people saying, we cannot move forward. But perhaps there's more to this whole forward thing than we maybe give credit to. Think about this. From the Garden of Eden, all the way through to the new heavens and new earth, from the beginning of your Bible to the end of your Bible, it is one redemptive story. The story of God and his redemption of humankind. And that story is always moving forward. At no point does the story stop. At no point does the story go backwards. God's purposes are moving forward. Always moving forward. At another point in Israel's history, this is interesting, before they ever got to the spy episode, they had come out of Egypt, and it's the same kind of thing. They start like questioning God. They start saying, well, what? Did he bring us out here to die? Like, is he going to continue to move us forward? Is he going to provide for us? Is he going to feed us? Like, maybe it was better if we went back. And once again, when they start talking about going backwards, the Lord pours out his judgment on the outskirts of the camp, and people died that day. And once again, you'd say, wow, really? Bad day? Spiteful God? What's going on? Because it seems like whenever the people of God say, let's go backwards, God isn't very pleased with that notion. At another point in the scriptures, you have God is getting ready to pour out his judgment on an area, Sodom and Gomorrah. Their wickedness and their presumptuousness before God had gotten to a point where God said, I'm not going to tolerate that anymore. And he tells Lot and his family who are living in that city, I'm going to pour out my judgment. You need to go. Lot drags his feet. So God in his mercy, like, come on, Lot, you got to go. So essentially, as the story is told in the scriptures, this angel goes, let's go. Takes his family and says, now here's what you're going to do. You're going to run across that plain. You're not going to look back. My purposes are that way. You're going to run across this plain. My judgment is behind you. You're going to run this way. You're going to settle over there. And my purposes are going to continue forward over there. Run that way. Don't look backwards. Lot's wife looks backwards. And she dies. And once again, you can say, wow. Harsh God. Bad day. What's going on? Well, you know, you imagine that story, and the way we think about it is like, she's running, and like, she's just curious, like, how's God going to pour out his judgment? I'll just look over my shoulder. Maybe not. Maybe it was an awful lot of this. Should I stay, or should I go? Should I stay, or should I go? God's purposes are always forward. Always forward. At a certain point in the ministry of Jesus, he's talking to the disciples, and he says, okay, guys, here's how this is going to go down. I'm moving forward to Jerusalem. I'm going to be publicly executed on a Roman cross because this is God's purposes. The Father has a purpose for me while I'm here, and these purposes are moving forward, and I'm moving forward with them, and it's going to take me all the way to Jerusalem for a public execution. And Peter says, no, Jesus, no, not you, not ever. And Jesus replies to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Wow, here we go again. Every time anyone kind of chimes in with all of this, like, not moving forward stuff, God has a pretty strong response to that. Why in the world would he say, get behind me, Satan? He says to Peter, Peter, you don't have the things of God in mind. You have the things of man in mind. Peter, you have in your mind the way things should be and the way they should play out, and you have in your heart the way you want things to be or the way you want them to play out. And Peter, those things in your mind and your heart are not equivalent to God's purposes moving forward. And he says, get behind me, Satan. Why would he call him Satan? Who is the primary adversary against the purposes of God moving forward in human history? Satan. God is saying, Peter, listen, you got to pick sides, brother. You're either interested in the purposes of God moving forward, or you are not. So which one is it going to be? Where are we going? For anybody that claims to be a believer in and follower of Jesus, the answer is always forward, because God's purposes are always moving forward. Not stuck, not stopped, not stalled, not backwards, forward. This is what Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke chapter 9. Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Does that hit you hard? It does me. Because once again, I think about Lot's wife. I'm like, are we just talking about a quick glance over the shoulder? Anyone that, a plow, right, a tool of work, anyone that gets to work in God's kingdom following Jesus and is at work following Jesus, Not just glancing over your shoulder, but thinking, do I want to go forward? Or maybe it was better back over here. Man, we are so inclined in so many ways to either want to stop or move backwards. And sometimes it's so subtle we don't even know what's happening. Anytime, I grew up in New Jersey, and anytime I go back to Princeton, New Jersey, to Nassau Christian Center, which is the church where I first came to know and put my faith in Jesus, is a great season of my life as a high school student. Great memories. I can remember all the worship songs we sang. I can remember the relationships. I can remember the activities. There's nothing but great memories and gratitude. Every time I drive down Nassau Street and I see that church, I think, oh my gosh, what a great season of my life. And God's purposes were indeed going forward in that season. But listen, here's the subtle, tricky part. The point of my Christianity is not to somehow recapture that moment and bring it with me and make sure that my Christian life looks exactly like that for the rest of my life. Listen, here's a warning for you. If you ever find yourself talking a lot about what used to be, or the way things were, or I wish going forward we could do it like we used to do it back here, warning. I don't know what that is. Emotionalism? Sentimentalism? It's something. It's just not the purposes of God. You know how I know that? Because the purposes of God are not moving backwards. Whatever God did in that season, it was a step to get you to the next season, which is a step to get you to the next season, which is a step to get you to the next season. You never, ever want to go backwards. Whether that time was good or bad or your favorite, it doesn't matter, because God's purposes are moving forward. Always forward. Where are we going? We're going forward. The second question is, how will we get there? How do we get forward? Well, easy answer. It's the same way you cliff dive. What's the answer? One step at a time. Fast forward the story, because stories don't go backwards, do they? Fast forward the story now. The 40-year waiting period that God said they're going to endure is now come to an end. And in fact, the entire generation has died off. So now you have everyone that was under 20 years old. Now here's the cool part about this. That group of people who were under 20 at the time that God said that, some of them had crossed the Red Sea too. That's cool. Some of them may be as young kids, so maybe they kind of remember what happened. You know, like your memories as a kid? Like, you kind of remember it, you kind of don't, you're not sure you have all the details right. So some of them had actually experienced that. Some of them had experienced it through story. But nonetheless, you have this whole mixed bag of people, a whole new generation, and God says, okay, now it's time again, shot number two at entering the Promised Land. And he gives them some instructions. They are, in essence, on the wrong side of the Jordan River, okay? They've got to cross this river, and the Jordan River is not the Amazon. In places, it's relatively narrow. Some places, wider, like most rivers, right? This is like thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people with all of their stuff that need to get across this river. And the Lord gives them some instructions on how they're supposed to do it, and he tells them, okay, here's what's going to happen. I want the priests to take the Ark of the Covenant, the box. And the priests are going to lead the way. You're going to wade into the water. And everyone else is going to keep their safe distance from the ark, because the common people, not the priests, couldn't touch the ark. And you're going to make your way across that way. Which leaves a bunch of questions in your mind. Like, how are we all going to get across a river? The Lord does not find it necessary to tell them exactly how he's going to do this. So you can imagine the conversations that were going on. In Joshua chapter 3, we pick up the story. It says, it was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. Okay, interesting detail. So this is the time of year where the Jordan River is at its highest. So it is now much wider because it's overflowing its banks, and the current's moving pretty good. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point, so north of where they were, actually several miles north of where they were, the water above that point began backing up at a great distance away in a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan, and the water south of them just kept on flowing into the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry, and then all the people crossed over into the town of Jericho. So imagine this, like, the priest's foot touch the water, and at that point, the Lord does something several miles upstream to somehow divert the water. Here's what I love about this. The Lord was not interested in any way, shape, or form of letting those people know how he did it. And then, it's so they start, can you imagine this? Like, how is this going to work? Can you imagine the conversations on this riverbank? This is nuts. Like, we know the Lord told us to do this, but this is nuts. How is this going to work? Because this river is flooding, and that current is moving, and now we're going to wade into a raging river with this box, and everyone's going to follow, like the women and the children with all of, how is this going to work? And the scriptures points out a very interesting detail here. As soon as their feet touched the water, that's when the water started to recede. What's that telling you? You got to take a step if you're going to see what the Lord is going to do. God is not interested. Listen, many of us, we dig in our heels. It's not that the Lord is not being clear. It's not that you don't know what to do. It's that you're having an argument with God that sounds something like this. God, if you would give me more information, if you would show me a sign, if you would tell me exactly how this is all going to play out, you run scenarios in your head, and you want to make sure all the scenarios work out perfectly before you're going to take the step, and it's like God's going to say to you, who do you think you are? I'm the Lord. I'm asking you to take a step. Are you going to take the step and trust me, or are you not? And we can argue in our pride all day long if we want to, but the Lord had no interest in showing them how he was going to make it happen. You think, well, what would keep somebody from taking a next step? Just one step. The Lord pretty much told the priest, just step into the river, do what I said, and then everyone will cross over. Well, what keeps people from taking their next step? Pull your toes back a few inches right now. Fear? Can we just admit it? Sometimes the Lord is asking us to do stuff, and there's apprehension, or awkwardness, or just straight up fear. God, how is that going to play out? Fear. Or comfort. I like my comfort. That makes me uncomfortable. You want to watch some Christians get really mad? Let's talk about money. Let's really have an honest conversation about the Lord owning everything and us being managers, and then we start talking about our comfort. And man, we love our comfort, don't we? There's nothing wrong with comfort. It's just a horrible life goal. And sometimes comfort runs in direct opposition to the purposes of God. Sometimes that is true. Not always, but sometimes that is true. Comfort of the past. I just want things to be the way they were. Oh, if they could just be the way they were in 1988 or 1989 in Princeton, New Jersey, or 1992, or that was my favorite year. I was just so comfortable as a Christian that year. Can we do everything now the way I was most comfortable? No! Because the purposes of God are always moving forward. Fear, comfort, pride, oh boy. Can I come a little closer? Some of you are really smart. And you have intellectual arguments with God where you want all of the information. You want to figure out exactly how it's going to work out. You want proof. You want evidence. You want signs. You want to make sure that in your mind everything makes complete sense before you're going to take a step with God. Wow. So really what we're saying is, God, I'm just as smart as you. So if you just explain it to me, then I'll get on board. Really? That's just pride. When you feel like you have to have all of the answers before you're willing to take a step, it's pride. And or the last one, just straight up busyness. We're just living our lives. We're going to work, we're mowing the lawn, we're buying the groceries, we're doing our thing, and next thing you know, you look back and you're like, what have I been doing with my life? Have I been involved in the purposes of God or have I not? Because it just feels like I'm kind of on the hamster wheel, living life, and busyness takes over, and next thing you know, you're going, I think I'm pretty much sidelined. All of these people, all of the Israelites, make their way across the Jordan River. God tells them, take 12 stones, build a monument. So anytime one of your kids sees these 12 stones stacked up, you can tell them the story about how taking one step into the Jordan led to everybody crossing over. But guess what? You don't get to build the monument until you take the step. And you don't get to see that water recede until you take the step. You don't get to tell God to explain to you how it's all going to work out before you take the step. You take the step and then you watch it all work out. That's the way that God does it, and his purposes are always moving forward, and it's always one step at a time. Always. Always, always, always one step at a time. How can you take more than one step at a time anyway? It's impossible. Even if you're running, it's one step at a time. Walking, one step at a time. Either way, it's always forward, and it's always one step at a time. There's a movie called Soul Surfer. We're going to watch a brief clip from this movie. And I don't know if you're familiar with the story. It's based on a true story of a young lady who's a competitive surfer, and she gets attacked by a shark and loses her arm. And so now she is in one of those moments where it's like, how do I move forward, right? You can imagine, like, well, I can't surf with one arm. And then there's all of the fear of getting back in the water, right? And so she's kind of in that life moment where everything's swirling, there's the whirlwind, she's trying to figure it all out, and she has a conversation with her dad. Take a look.
Go ahead. Tell me how everything's gonna be okay.
Yeah, that's me. Mr. Jump right in and fix it. I could just keep my mouth shut for once.
Done, aren't I?
I can't even paddle out to the lineup past the big waves.
I don't understand. What happened to I can do all things? Why? Why did this happen? Why did I have to lose everything?
You didn't lose everything, Bethany. Not even close. That shark didn't kill you. You're still here. Still alive. You have a family that loves you.
What am I supposed to do now? How am I supposed to know?
When the time is right, you'll know. Until then, you pray. You listen.
Listen for what?
For what comes next.
What a great answer from a dad. Whatever's next, right? You get into these moments where you kind of know where you are, and you want to move forward, but you're not sure how. There's all kinds of emotion wrapped up in it, and sometimes it's just like we stew in it, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and you get in this moment, I don't know what to do, and how about this? How about you just take the next step? That's all. Every single one of us in this room could take a next step. You're not going to change your whole life in one decision. You're not going to radically change the world in one moment. But man, is it amazing when it's just one step and then another step and then another step, and you're not even realizing what's going on, but your life is changing and you've been participating in the purposes of God. And then every once in a while you can say, look how far I've come. And how good the Lord has been, and what's been going on in my life. And so I'll hear stories in the church sometimes, like a man will come up to me in the church and say, all right, so every week Pastor Rob holds up Project 345 and says, I'm so glad that 100% of our church reads their Bible every day, right? And one man said to me, after 2 years, of Pastor Rob smirking at me, I finally started to read my Bible. And then here comes the story, right? It's like putting the 12 stones on the other side of the river. I cannot believe how much it's changing my life. I can't believe the new perspective I have, how I am at work. What's that? One step? One step. We can all take one step. I conclude with a few thoughts here, and then we're gonna have the worship team come back out, and we're gonna do an activity together. This is for some of you, maybe not all of you. But listen, you don't need to know the how. You just need to do the what. Some of you are you're spinning your tires, you're wrapped around the axle trying to figure out how is this all going to play out, or how does this even make any sense that this is what the Lord is asking me to do for my next step? And I would just say this, just take the next step. You don't need to know the how, you just need to do the what. Which leads to the next thought, which is, you don't need answers. You need courage. God, if you just explain everything to me, I would take the next step. No, you wouldn't. You'd just be more scared. If you really knew everything that God knows, you'd be terrified. So in that sense, I think it's God's grace that we're on a need-to-know basis. Because I promise you, there are some situations in my life that if he would have told me the hellfire that I would be standing in the middle of, I probably wouldn't have walked through it. I wouldn't have chosen to walk through it. But he just asked me to walk through it, and I did, and I was so grateful they didn't tell me all the facts on the front end. Last thought here. A hero and a coward are both scared. A hero just runs in the right direction. So whatever it is that God has for your next step, if you have a little bit of anxiety or apprehension, you don't know how it's going to work out, maybe some fear, can I just say welcome to the club? You're not the only one. Like the Lord says, I want you to start leading a life group. And you're like, a little bit of awkwardness, or I want you to join a serving team, or whatever it might be for you. And you're saying, well, that's going to be awkward, and I don't, okay, for all of us. Because new always has a little bit of that woe to it, right? And then you step into it, and then you watch the Lord do his thing, and it gets awesome, and then, right, and you just keep, this is how the Christian life is lived. One step out of time with the purposes of God always moving forward. Which is why, as we wrap up our time here, we, for the last few weeks, have been talking about this new life adventure guide at the church. And so we're going to do something with this, a brief activity. So you don't have this with you today on purpose, because we have a bit of a curiosity. These are located at the info area. And what this is tries to make a large and somewhat complex church more simplified, where you can take an assessment and figure out what would be a good next step for me. Okay, that's what this is. If you have not interacted with this yet, I would say on your way out today, stop by an info area and grab one. I think you'll find it helpful. What we're curious about is, over the course of the last 3 weeks, as we've been putting this in your program and have a game going on all over the building about this guide, we're just wondering if and how people have been interacting with this. And so I'm going to ask you all to pull out your devices right now, whether it's phone or tablet, and we're going to have the band sing a song. It's the song we started the series with, and so we're going to bookend this and end this series with the same song. And while they're singing the song, you're going to get a few minutes to just think, and all of your thinking and praying is on this question. What's my next step? All right? So if you would text survey to 97000, you're going to get a quick 3-question survey. Whether you have looked at the guide or not, it's helpful if you all answer these 3 questions. If you don't have a device, right now the ushers are making their way around the rooms. We're in one room, just one room, and they can hand you a paper survey. Helpful if you do it digitally, because then we don't have to do the data entry on the back end, but nonetheless, if you need these 3 questions on paper form, just raise your hand and they will get that to you. And then I'd like for you to hold this coaster in your hands while the band is singing this song, and I just want you to just sit there and think and pray, Lord, what is my next step, okay? So I want you to answer the 3-question survey. Think about your next step. When the band's done with this song, I'll come back up and wrap up our time.
When my plans unravel, or the doors all close, if tomorrow finds me on a dead end road, like a brand new morning, and I'm feeling fine, 'cause my eyes are lifted to heaven's light. Your plans are perfect, you can do no wrong, so I'll cast all my cares until they're gone, and I'll keep on moving. It's only just begun. I trust to lose. No matter what the future holds, I'm trusting in you. No matter what comes next, I got nothing to lose. No matter what the future holds, I'm trusting in you.
Everybody to stand with me. We're going to conclude our time with prayer. As I was coming off the stage, I heard someone over here ask, did you ever jump? You never told us if you jumped. Don't steal my punchlines. Of course I did. Because listen, there's only two options. And this is why I conclude by saving this for now. One step forward. You've been in these moments. Should I? Shouldn't I? Should I? Shouldn't I? And it's always the same thing. You take that one step, and you know what? You're like, what was I afraid of? That was so fun, so exciting. What memories, right? One step forward. The option is backwards with your head down. None of us want that, right? Forward. Forward with the purposes of God. This church is moving forward. God's purposes are moving forward. Your life is moving forward. Not stuck, not stopped, not stalled, not backwards. Forward, one step at a time. And so I'm just real curious, how many of you would say right now in the room, you know exactly what your next step is? Would you just raise your hand? For the rest of us, we're still trying to figure it out. Okay, we're going to pray. For those of you that know what your next step is, that the Lord would give you the courage to take that step. Maybe you're already involved in that step. For the rest of us, that the Lord would help us identify our next step. And so once again, if you need help identifying that, then just on your way out, stop at an info area, grab a guide, and use that to help you, okay? This is your reminder. You put this somewhere, put your coffee on it, whatever, on your office desk. This is your reminder that the Lord has a next step for you and His purposes are going forward. Lord Jesus, we thank You today for Your forgiveness. We're grateful. We thank You that we get to spend eternity with You in the new heavens and new earth. We're grateful for all of that. But right now, in this life, in the here and now, we know that Your purposes are going forward, and we want to put our hand to the plow in Your kingdom and be all about what You are up to in human history. In our lives, in our church, in our city, in this world, Lord, whatever that means, we all commit ourselves to taking one step in the right direction. By the power of Your Holy Spirit, give us the courage to do everything You're calling us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Prayer and communion are available as always. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.